Welcome to the Dauntless Grace Exchange. I'm Megan.
And I'm Deidre. We are doing our Galentine's episode, which we're actually recording on Galentine's Day, but we're dropping it the day after Valentine's. And I feel like this is kind of how I started last year's Galentine's Day episode. Like, we're coming at you Galentine's Day, except on Valentine's Day. But this year is the day after, so it's all fine.
But also, it's currently Galentine's Day in our world.
That's right. And so it is on the day for us. And last year we did a game called Let's Get Deep, the Friends Edition,
the questions weren't deep at all because we were trying to play them at retreats. It was like, okay, guys, picture this. We're at a retreat with a staff of a nonprofit in California that we've never met any of them in real life. We don't know three of them at all. And we are like, we're going to get to know each other with this game called Let's Get Deep. And Deidre pulls out her little conversation starter cards from this pack, hands them out at dinner. And the first night we're sitting there really, really anxious to get into the deep stuff with these people. And the question's like, at what temperature is your thermostat set? And everybody goes around the circle and says 67, 68, 68, 72. And we're like, this is not telling me much information about you. This is the shallowest deep conversation I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, that was my bad. I normally vet the cards a little bit better. That one's stuck in there. But we also don't start with that particular card game has like icebreaker and then deep and deeper. And so I just decided to get rid of the icebreaker game. That's ridiculous because they're all dumb ones like that. But I also will say, I think the question didn't read about the thermostat. I think it was what's your ideal temperature. And so we both had to tell our ideal date line from Miss Congeniality first, because that's always good. Like, you push that button, it's going to come out for both of us.
So yeah, but it's not going to come out correctly for you. I would like to hear it from you and see if you get it right.
What's your perfect date? No, it's April 25th because it's not too hot and it's not too cold. You can just wear a light jacket.
All you need is a light jacket.
Oh, it's a close enough.
You are very close. I'm impressed, actually.
That was close enough.
I am super impressed with that.
All right.
Yeah, so you were mostly there.
So we started, before we started recording, we were trying to decide which cards we were going to do, because this particular game is called Nine Shapes, Conversational Cards Around the Enneagram. So we were like, there's only a one and a four here. I'm an Enneagram one, you're an Enneagram four. Do we just take our luck and answer any question that comes up, even if it's for a seven or an eight? Do I just pull out the ones for ones and fours, which led me into sorting through the deck? And if you can't tell my number before now, you can now, because I was getting so irritated. I was like, who had this deck last? Like, every other card is facing a different way. I just want them all to face the same way.
So I had to guess. I think we purchased that deck of cards when we were on a trip. And I think we were just sitting in our dorm room one night, because that's when we were staying on a college campus. And I started pulling them out to do the questions. And you probably were like, that's not how they go back. That's not how they go back. That's not where you're putting them back in the same spot. You're mixing them in with the new ones. What are you doing? And I was probably like, it's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. We're just having fun.
I'm laughing so hard. I'm trying not to, because I've noticed lately when I listen back to our podcast, I really don't like the sound of my laugh on it. And so I'm really trying to like hold a silent laugh in, but my shoulders are shaking because 100% I told you that, and you may have made you on purpose do every card differently. So I probably should have learned my lesson and not done that, because this was a hot mess. But
so if you haven't guessed my number yet before this conversation, clearly a four.
Well, there's cards in the deck, like this one says disruptor, time to bring new energy into the room. Everyone switch seats. No.
Oh, that's terrible. That sounds terrible. Also, that would be actually physically impossible because we are currently recording this 7 miles away from each other. We'd have to be like, pause and then like run to each other. Never mind that. I sound like a dad joke. Like that joke, it just grew a mustache and is lecturing its teenager about driving.
See me trying not to laugh obnoxiously into the microphone?
No, but now it sounds like dead silence after I make something that's legitimately funny. Like, I would rather hear your laugh.
To be clear, the dad joke wasn't funny, but your commentary on it was, although you may have taken a little too far. Okay, I need to clarify something, because we're only a few seconds in and I've already said bit once, but almost said it three other times. And it's because I don't do bits and I don't talk about people doing bits, but I'm listening to Rob Lowe's podcast, literally, and he talks about these bits all the time. And then the episode where he and his son, John Owen, were talking, like, they just one bit after another. And I was like, I'm not a bit person. I don't even know where this is coming from. But I just realized I want to say it a bunch already. So that bit was too much.
You grew up in a bit family, so I feel like that just comes in you naturally. Also, I totally just listened to his episode with Jennifer Aniston today.
Oh, you did? I listened to that yesterday. That was pretty good.
The best part of the episode to me was the fact that in the first, like, 15 minutes, she said the word literally, like, four times and didn't notice that she had until, like, the fifth time she said it. And then she was, like, stopped herself and was like, oh, literally. Like, now she's realizing she's saying it. I'm like, yeah, you've said that so many times.
Well, anyway, his impact upon society has quite literally been impactful.
Where were we the other day when you said literally so many times just like that I really kind of just wanted to smack you, but I couldn't because of where we were?
No, you told me to stop saying it, and I told you why. It was because I was listening to Rob Lowe, and so I didn't realize it had impacted me in the way that it had.
Oh, it's when we were out to dinner with a friend.
But I was saying it in the right way. I wasn't using it like when I should have said figuratively. So I was accurately using it.
No, it was just you were pronouncing it obnoxiously.
Yeah, I was pronouncing literally it like the Parks and Rec Rob Lowe character. I don't even remember what his name was on that because I never watched it.
Speaking of Parks and Rec, that's where Valentine's Day originated. Look at that.
Full circle. We did
brought
all
it back
that bit.
Oh my gosh. But
okay, how do you want to do this game? I'm gonna ask
you're holding all the cards literally, so you're gonna have to decide.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question in no particular order. I pulled out a bunch for Enneagram 4s. I'm not looking first. I'm just going to ask a question.
Okay.
So this will be a fun one.
Okay.
It is funny how it's worded, so that is making me laugh. How do you moderate your emotions? Which would be a fair enough question to ask a 4, but this is how it ends. How would you moderate your emotions when short on time? What does that mean? But I mean, I can kind of guess what it means, but that makes it very specific.
Like, if I have to, so this is for 4s, right? Like, I'm speaking as me.
Yeah.
Okay.
But don't ask me a question about what the question means, because I just read you all I know. That's it.
Okay. I'm going to interpret that question as meaning, like, if you're put on the spot to have to sift through all of the emotions in a public facing way, which is what I've told you about why I don't really like surprise, like, parties or opening gifts in front of people, because I all of a sudden have to figure out how to pick an emotion to express accurately or process it in real time to express it accurately. So I think it's asking that, like, how do you do that then? And I'm like, well,
I 100% would have clarified it that way for you, because I know that that is a thing for you. So yeah. If I would have answered that question when you said, how do you mean that? I would have said, well, I'm guessing you would mean it by not having to process your emotions quickly in front of people.
Right. Life. But it's saying, but if you have to, how do you, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think I choose the really healthy route of, like, just completely stuffing it and going stone faced. Yeah. Because I, that's the only, otherwise I'm picking something that I haven't thought through or processed out, and that feels inauthentic. So I'd rather just kind of stone face it.
And I just want to on air apologize for sometimes in the very early parts of our friendship, calling that stone face out as like an attitude. That's probably the wrong word. Like
probably what it reflected.
Like a teenage attitude that was looking at me. And so,
yep.
but understanding that, it makes sense that you, first of all, you're in the withdrawing stance. So you have to kind of step back to figure out what you're even feeling and how you want to express that. Plus, as a 4 in the heart triad, you have lots of big feelings, and which one do you want to prioritize or communicate? So it makes sense that, like, to ask you to show up in an engaging way. And, like, as we know about relational energy, I would have been trying to probably fix a problem. So I'm coming with at energy, or at least toward in some way. And you're like, frozen. And instead of me recognizing, oh, because I had no Enneagram language, but even recognizing, like, oh, it's not like she has an attitude about what I'm asking. It's just that she doesn't know how to answer what I'm asking, and giving you time, then I press more. So that was healthy.
No, it's true. It's also why I, like, didn't want to do a podcast for so long too, because it feels like a lot of pressure to have to process my thoughts in real time.
Yeah.
Not that I don't have conversations, but, like, that's why if you and I meet and, like, we take a 30-minute walk somewhere, I always walk away feeling like, well, we didn't get through everything we needed to talk through because it takes us so long to like just literally process every nuance of all the stories that we're telling. And that's what I need to be able to walk away feeling like heard, and also that I heard you, and just that everything's clear. And that's probably why when we're only together for 20 or 30 minutes, I'm always like, are we good? And you're always like, why are you asking me that? I thought we were. Now we're not. Like, I don't know, because it didn't feel like enough time to process everything.
I was telling my daughter the other night that she was having a little thing with somebody and how she likes to really talk it out and talk it out and talk it out. She's a four, right? And so I said, oh, right. You know, Megan and I, we talk it out until we overstand it. It's not just the understanding, but like, I think I understand you, but let me say it again to you. And then you say it back to me, and then I'll wrap it up and summarize it one more time.
Which is a very, very kind way of saying beat a dead horse, which is how it's been posed to me in the past.
Right. And that's fine. But we both kind of do it. So we just jump in there together. It's like on New Girl with the high episode when Jess and Cece are, they get the bread maker and they're beating it with to bits. Okay. I have a story about walking away from the most innocuous conversation and like really wanting to go back and explain myself to finish it. But so that is a few of my coworkers might listen to this, but we were in staff meeting the other day, kind of just waiting for a few people to join. And we were talking about morning sickness. And one of the people was saying they really like spicy stuff. And I was like, yes, I was like, that's how I knew I was pregnant. Like I always wanted spicy stuff. Even
with always want spicy stuff though.
Well, I know, but it's worse since then. It's like, that's when it really ramped up, when I was pregnant with Cole. And like, I would be so nauseated and sick. And the only thing that ever sounded good was like really greasy stuff or spicy stuff, which when you're like actually sick to your stomach, that kind of thing would not appease you, right? You'd want more bland. But I made this, so it's time now to start. Like the conversation should be ending because now everybody's there and we should stop talking about these random things. We're running short on time. And I just made this comment like, yeah, with my second pregnancy, I'm embarrassed to say this out loud because if anybody was there, they're going to be like, why is she still thinking about that? But I was like, with my second pregnancy, I knew I was pregnant before I knew because I started craving green pepper pizza. And somebody was like, well, green peppers aren't spicy. I'm like, no, they're not. But I didn't. And then I didn't get to, I was like, yeah, you're right. But it was just like, and someone said, cause they're like zingy. I was like, I guess. And then as I walked away, I'm like, no, it's because I didn't like green peppers ever before in my life. And for some weird reason, I got this hankering for them when I tasted them on an Emo's pizza when I was pregnant with Cole. And then every pregnancy, I just had this terrible craving for that, but I didn't get to finish that conversation. And this is such a story. I don't even know why I'm telling it, except I wanted someone to understand that I understand green peppers aren't spicy. And I also understand it was a weird segue from what we were talking about, but
that's okay, a terrible bit.
Let's go to the one card.
I'd like to say though, in your defense, I think green peppers are kind of spicy. Like I would classify them as like a spicy food. It's not like spicy, spicy when you put it up next to like ghost peppers, but yeah, I would say green peppers have a kick.
When they're cooked, they definitely do even more than when they're raw, and more than like the other bell peppers.
Yeah.
But it was just something.
Especially like, on a pizza.
Yeah.
I think that makes it spicy. So no, I'm on your side. I understand that even regardless of having the full context and explanation, but also that was such a boring story.
Okay. Well, I've been talking for a while, so I'm just going to ask you another question. Or here, you can answer this question for me. Okay. This is an Instagram one card.
That's what I love more than anything is answering for other people when I don't even know how to process my own thoughts and feelings. Go ahead.
This will be fun. What makes you angry? So you're answering it as what makes Deidre angry?
Well, I would change my voice to sound like you, but I think our voices sound so much alike on this podcast, it wouldn't help. So, okay. I'm Deidre. And what makes me angry is when people don't load the dishwasher correctly, or if they don't put the cards back in the game the way that they should go so that next time it's just easier to get out of the thing. Oh, are we not talking about things like that?
No, well, I was going to say, let's rank like anger because those things are like mild irritations.
Okay, but they're the mild irritations that when they happen after all of the real anger has been stuffed down inside of you because you have done your reaction formation that you think it's not okay to express it. Those are the things you actually get upset about and blow up over. All right. You get angry when it feels like other people get like a shortcut or an easy thing or all of the things for not doing as much effort or hard work.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes, that's it. That's the thing that's building the resentment. So then once the dishwasher isn't done or someone didn't take out the trash or there's crumbs on the counter, that's the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yes.
Okay, let's change gears.
You was answer. That fun
for you? Yeah, no, that's good. Okay, you answer. What is the happiest you've ever felt?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I'm supposed to say something about holding my child for the first time, but the very first one was so traumatic. The second one was pretty great because all four of us were in the room. That was great. Honestly, like to be in the present moment thinking like without any worries or fears, it was the, and you're, I know you know what I'm going to say. You answer it for me.
The cruise.
It was the first time we like stepped onto the cruise deck and we just looked around at the city of Miami and I thought, oh my gosh, it's actually happening. Like we've been planning this for 2 years. We're standing on this cruise deck and it's, we're going to like disembark. We're going to go. It's going to happen. And I have never felt more like in the moment, excited, thrilled, like ready.
And I'll just say this on your behalf, like that year or two before you'd been doing more embodiment work. So to feel it like all come together, like you had been excited about things in the past, but then maybe anxiety stole the present from you or you were, you know, you just weren't in your body for it or whatever. So it's not like that moment was better necessarily than other moments, but it's like you were there fully yeah. present in your body, in your emotions, in your thoughts. It was all like together.
I mean, I think it happened multiple times throughout the cruise for sure. Like when we were standing there holding dolphins and things like that. But I just remember the first moment of standing on that cruise deck going, oh, this is real. This
yeah.
is actually going to happen. This is coming out of, it's going from my imagination into reality right now. And I get to feel that.
Yeah, that's good. All right. I'll answer one for me and then I might do one for you. Well, that one's about frustration and we've already covered that. So let's move on.
All the one questions are about anger and resentment.
I just, oh. What do you do for fun?
Yes, that's a good one for you to answer.
Well, this year, I am reading frivolous things that I just want to read for fun because
yeah, you are.
Finally I'm done as an adult getting degrees and reading dumb textbooks and discussion posts and things that you don't want to have to read. I mean, some of it was good reading, but you know what I mean? Textbooks just aren't fun even when you're interested in it. So I decided to reward myself and kind of set a challenge for myself. So that's kind of a space where I'm playing this year. Like
yeah,
it doesn't have a payout except to just entertain me. I am going to go dancing tomorrow night for Valentine's Day. We got a gift card from our kids for Christmas that they all went in on for a date night. And they had done some research about a place where you could do swing dance lessons. And so on Wednesday nights just happens to be Valentine's Day. So we're going to finally use that. So I love to dance. That was my most fun memory from the cruise was the dancing. Love it. And especially when you can take a lesson so you know what to do, that's much better than like club dancing, which is why I like the kind of dancing we did on the cruise because we were following our cruise director and everybody was doing the same thing, but also I could feel free in my body without feeling like judged or I didn't know what to do. So fun.
So for if you're catching like, this, I'm like, yeah, this is the Enneagram is like, I like to play if it's like in a structure.
I like it structured. And so like I set a challenge for how many books I was going to read this year so that I could play, but also somewhat accomplish something and kind of know my guidelines. And I like,
wait, what's your word? Why? Oh, never mind. It's Kairos. That's right.
Yeah.
I was thinking play. That was last year. Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to answer a question for me this time?
Maybe. What is it?
Well, this is kind of weird. This is a little bit the same. Talk about a hobby or skill you possess that you're proud of. I don't think I have a lot of hobbies. So share about the, what does making the world a better place mean to you?
I think for you, it comes down to a lot of justice issues and making sure there's equity and there's access and that, I think it feels a lot like that for you, which is probably part of your subtype, I'm guessing, because I'm guessing from like all ones, it's going to look a little bit different on what it looks like to reform the world. But for you, it's more that.
Yeah, because that's why I think I pushed back so hard against the perfectionist label. Because, like, if you came and looked through all kinds of cabinets and drawers in my house, you wouldn't think I'm a perfectionist.
Your junk drawer is the most organized junk drawer I've ever seen in my entire life.
But it's the only thing in the whole kitchen that I feel looks nice. And maybe like where the plates are, like you can't really mess that up. But I mean, I was looking for a spice tonight when I was making dinner, and I was like, this is disgusting. Like somebody should get in this house and do something about this. But I just will not spend time on that because I could, but I would, if I'm gonna do something productive, I'd rather it be about like the bigger world at large or other making other people's worlds better. So that's just not gonna be something I spend time on.
Yeah.
Because you're right, because that's what it looks like to me to make the world a better place is more that big picture kinds of thing. Yeah. All right. One more question each, maybe. I don't know what time it
Yeah,
is.
let's do it. Let's do
Okay.
it.
I know you're going to love this one. What is an assumption people often make about you that seems inaccurate?
Is this for me a Ford answer about me? Maybe you should answer this one for me.
Oh, I haven't done that yet.
Well, you did the cruise one, kind of.
Oh, yeah, no, that's good. I can. Well, I'd say for you, and this may be more of a stereotypical four answer, but it's that like you're always sad, or you're too much when you're happy, or that kind of like the juxtaposition of the deep feelings and the big and the bright feelings, how they seem kind of polarizing and like. That doesn't make sense. Like you're so hyper right now, or you're just sad. Like you went through that emo phase maybe in high school or college where you were like, but it's not that I'm sad because I'm okay with sadness, or it's not that I'm in pain, I'm okay with pain, but it's that I have the weight of so much on me trying to sort through what's missing here, and that's what you're not getting in my. So it's like it's almost like the assumption is you're very emotional, as though there's no reason for that, as though that is an
Or
unreasonable thing.
I think that's so accurate. I would say it like this. It's like I that people assume that I'm swinging from one emotion to another, as opposed to all of them are there and this is what I'm expressing today versus I might have expressed the opposite one yesterday. So it
Yes.
looks like I'm swinging, but really this is just the one that's at the forefront. I remember a text conversation I had with somebody a long time, like over 10 years ago probably, where it was like I was super excited about things that the Lord was doing in my life and things were going really well. And the next day I was like, everything sucks. I'm so depressed, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, okay, wait, just yesterday, like, I can't keep up with this. Just yesterday, everything was great. I'm like, this is just the emotion that's coming out right now. That doesn't mean that's the reality, but that's what I'm expressing because that's the one I'm feeling most. So it's not that I swung from like super excited to super depressed. It's like this day I expressed this one and the next day I expressed the other one.
Because you're always seeing the nuance that all of that's existing together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if I feel like something's wrong, I'm going to do something to make it right so I can have the positive emotion where you're like, yeah, but it like the bittersweet is always there, you
Yeah.
know?
You're never going to get rid of all of it. So it's just what am I expressing in this moment? And the expression is what is too much for people.
Yeah. I don't want to do any more of these one cards, so I'm just going to pick a random one for another type. I don't know what it's going to be. We're just going to pull it out.
Need your glasses, Grandma?
Kind of do.
Listen, you're going to be 48, right? No, is that right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're driving home from picking my daughter up from school today, and a Whitney Houston song comes on the radio. And my youngest was like, "Is Whitney Houston still alive?" And I said, "No, she died." They're like, "When?" I said, "I don't know, maybe within the last 10 years." And they're like, "Well, how old was she?" And I said, "I don't think she was very old, maybe in her 50s." And Jory Googles it. Do you know how old she was when she died?
48.
48.
She looked freaking fantastic for 48. I'm not there.
I was like, "That's Deidre's age."
That's
Because
why
we're
I
looking at
actually
it.
thought she was younger because I feel like the last time I would have seen her, she looked like she was still 30 or something.
Yeah. Anyway, that's your trivia for the
I decided to pick a seven since that's where one of my lines. So it's when do you find that your mind is most clear? Well, I know I'm not a seven, but as a one, I would say the first time I felt that was after we started Dauntless Grace and we did our first conference. It was the first night I preached on a like a 2-day conference. And I was in the car by myself going to meet a bunch of y'all, like at somebody's house where we were all having kind of an after dinner get together. And I was so aware that, and I didn't have the language for it then because we didn't know Enneagram, but it was the inner critic. I was so aware that that internal narrative had stopped because I'd been driving for like 10 minutes with just like no thoughts. It was so bizarre. I pulled the car over and literally started crying. I did it, but I didn't totally Rob Lowe it, but I literally started crying because I couldn't see the road. And I just had to cry from it. I was so filled with thanksgiving and gratitude that it was like, whoa, is this what it feels like to have serenity and to not be second guessing yourself and to not be criticizing everything you just said for the last hour and a half on a stage and to not be driving away wondering what everybody thought about the event you put on? Like, I couldn't even lead worship on Sunday mornings or do a production at church or anything that I didn't just take the whole rest of the day picking it apart. Like, I just, it was so extreme, my judgment about myself or just about other people's performance that reflected on me or whatever. And it was like, whoa. And so quieting that inner critic and feeling that just peace was probably the most clear. And I've had to find ways to get back to that place since then.
It's almost like the first time, not that you spent 40 years of your life not being in your gifting, but it was like you stepped into your purpose in that night that was yours. And it wasn't a reflection of someone else's purpose. It was like something that was all your own, and it quieted the voice. And I do remember that so clearly because once we learned about the Enneagram, I was like, oh, the internet, like you talked about the narrative going silent. And like, I get it because we all have a narrative, but mine's not so incessant. And I couldn't relate to that specific phrasing of it until we learned that, oh, it's because you're an Enneagram one. That made a lot of sense.
Yeah. So that was the first time I really noticed it. And since then I found ways to like create that space. Yeah. Well, that was kind of fun. A little bit deep, a little bit fun, better than what's your favorite date?
Oh wait, we already did this bit. See what I did there?
Back around. It's recall.
Callback.
It's a callback.
Learn that from the Amazons, which would be your brothers.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for this Galentine's Day date.
This 2 days post Galentine's Day date. But honestly, Galentine's Day, just an excuse to celebrate your friends because, you know, as Glennon Doyle says on her podcast, why does the world put so much emphasis on romantic partnerships when there are so many relationships that sustain us? And honestly, you're my person who sustains me most of the time. So celebrating Galentine's with you is my favorite, even if we're just doing a podcast today and not sitting in the beach on floor in Florida with a heart cake. Do you remember that? Well, that's where we were like 5 years ago on Galentine's.
I was having fun until you said that. That was kind of a wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
All right, go celebrate your friends, y'all.
And that wraps up another episode of the Dauntless Grace Exchange. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app and leave a review so other people can find us.
You can follow us on social media to stay connected. We're on Instagram at Dauntless Grace Ministries, and our Facebook page is Dauntless Grace.
For more about the Enneagram, visit our website at dauntlessgrace.org for coaching and training opportunities. And you can follow me at Enneagram Megan on Instagram.
And be sure to check out our website for more information about today's podcast. Plus, you can click the resources tab to find books by all the authors we've spoken to or about. And you can find it at dauntlessgrace.org.